This is The View from Tab. I'm Jim Minnick.
I'm John Cruz.
And I'm Mike Beats.
And this is the second time we've tried to do this because we screwed up.
Why are you giving away our behind the scenes secrets?
Because it's better than the show.
This is something that fans will read about 20 years from now.
Is this taking down the fourth wall?
Yes, exactly. No, well, no. I don't think so.
The third wall?
No, there are no walls in The View from Tab. Okay, we're going to talk about two tournaments, one that just happened and one that's going to happen. And the one that just happened is the National Debate Coaches Association tournament. And we were, before we rudely interrupted ourselves, we were talking about the history of the tournament. So we were saying it went back a few years, had gone away for a little while, and has come back. And the question, and there is a process by which one gains admission to the tournament, a point system. Now, I remember looking at that point system once and not being able to figure it out, or else being too lazy to figure it out or something like that. So how does the point system work?
Well, it's probably it might not be worth talk about the point system anymore because it's going to be changed for Lincoln Douglas debate. Basically, it just took how far you went at a tournament. And then by went at a tournament, I mean if you made finals or – and then it takes your prelim record. Then it has these multipliers that multiply your prelim record by how many states were in attendance, how many debaters were in attendance, and how far you got. Those would multiply your prelim record.
That's why I gave up. So what is the new system going to be?
Well, I'm not sure. I think that there's definitely a movement among the LD community to change the system because – one, LD is unique in that it's one-on-one debate, so we could do a ranking system that could take a debater's entire career into consideration. We could do things more akin to what they do in like chess or online gaming, which is called the ELO system, which I think would really
you'd have
go
like a
to,
ranking.
You have a ranking, okay. And then you would just rank. You would invite the top 200 in your ranking to the the NDCA championships. And at this point, 200 kids don't even apply to go to the NDCA championships. Right. I don't think there's 200 policy teams, but whatever the number is going to be, and 200 may be too big. I mean, you would have to have a huge campus.
That's way big, but I mean, so this. I mean, it's reminiscent. I mean, what you're saying, at least in terms of having a system, changing the system, is reminiscent of what the TOC was like, because they had one system once upon a time. Now they have a system where, bids are granted to certain tournaments specifically.
Yes.
It used to be a mathematical system to get to TOC.
Yeah, and the difference is that the NDCA tournament, its main mission is to promote regional or local debate even, so that you don't have to, you can get points no matter what tournament you go to.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea. I like that idea.
So do I. And at this point, since we're not going to get big enough for there to be 200 kids, and it's going to be the top 200 kids, really anyone can attend the NDCA championships. What we do give, and they'd give it, and I shouldn't say we, I'm no longer on the board, but what the NDCA does give is a number of awards, and one of the awards that they give is one for year-long accomplishment, sort of like the Copeland Award in policy debate, in college policy debate, and that's we call it the Dukes. They call it the Dukes and Bailey Cup, and that takes that equation, and the people and the person with the highest gets that year-long award.
Right, which I think is neat. I think that's pretty neat. I mean, I am still on the NDCA board, and I think that there are a couple of things I want to add to what Beats is saying. So the tournament, has grown actually pretty impressively over the last years. The policy tournament this year was, basically all the major players were there, one form or another, and it was an extremely competitive tournament. So
we were saying before, there's like 80 or 90 in the policy field, and 60 or so in LD.
Yeah, about closer to 50, I think, in the LD division. But I mean, but the policy field was extremely competitive, and I would say the LD one was too. I mean, the public forum field was small, but those were really competitive teams as well. I mean, I thought it was a great experience. It was an interesting weekend for me. We competed with our top teams in policy and public forum. My more top LDers couldn't actually go this weekend, although all regretted because the tournament was great in the end. One of our younger debaters went for the experience, which was cool. And we did quite well in the policy and public forum divisions. And I just thought it was a really great experience. I mean, I'm obviously biased. I'm on the board of the NDCA.
This is a moving tournament. I mean, it moves from year to year.
Correct.
Not that you get emotional over it. Yeah, I mean, so it moves from year to year.
Yeah.
Friday through Sunday kind of
thing? No, it's Saturday through Monday.
Saturday through Monday. But it travels around the country, so presumably people travel to it on Friday, and it starts on Saturday morning.
That's correct.
And it goes into out rounds on Sunday or Saturday or Monday.
It goes into out rounds on Sunday. Mm-hmm. There was one out round on actually in the LD division. There were two out rounds on Sunday. The policy division, there was one.
That's a lot of days. I mean, so it's late in the year. Well, there goes Beats. That's a lot of days, and
that's really a lot of. I mean, it's the length of a.
Yeah, but it's a lot of days at the end of the season.
Well, sure.
And for me, and I wonder if a lot of people may not be in the same position, it's just that I haven't gotten my mind around this tournament yet. I like the idea of this tournament. I like the idea of having a tournament like this. I have like it now.
Sure.
But I haven't...
Well, I'll say a few things. Mm-hmm. I want to interrupt and just say a few things.
Yeah, sure.
I think that there are a lot of great end-of-the-year opportunities for tournaments. And I have been fortunate over the years to, as a coach, attend, I guess what I would say, the four end-of-the-year tournaments, the NDCA, the TOC, the NCFL, and the NFL. And I'm just going to say that I think that having a tournament the NDCA is interesting because its system is great. It promotes regional debate. But at the same time, it's very much a national circuit. I guess the best way I put it is that not that it's a national circuit tournament, but that because of the qualifying system, you get a really great mix of teams. You get like a lot of national circuit teams. You get the potential of a lot of regional and local teams. And I think it's a great championship opportunity that is not at a time period that conflicts with major exams in terms of APs, and B, not a week long, which can also be extremely expensive. And for New York, it also conflicts with exams. You know, I love the NFL National Tournament, and we have the largest chapter in the country right now in the NFL. You know, and sometimes it's really upsetting that because of the tests and graduation and prom, that it becomes impossible for us to attend.
Yeah, well, the NFL, I mean, for us, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, I am sending somebody here, but here's a tournament I will never, ever, ever be able to go to. And
sure.
It's the NFL. You know, I mean, I am very disconnected from the NFL because they run a week-long tournament that I can't go to. And I'm not the only person in that.
Right, and I'm not disconnected. And, obviously, the Bronx Science attend, when we're fortunate enough to qualify the TOC, we've been attending the TOC every year. But I think that there's something to be said about having a tournament opportunity that's run by high school coaches, that, runs by the high school coaching communities, norms. I mean, I think that these are good things. I was commenting before the podcast that today I got into a moment with some of the administrators at my school about the AP, about the fact that all of our kids are going to the TOC, have to take late AP exams. People were really upset about this, and they directly said this, that how could a championship tournament for high schoolers conflict with AP exams? And, that's a valid question.
You're making a good point, though. I mean, these finals. TOC is run by a college, and it just happens to play out to the high school community, but it's entirely for the base for that college. NFL, I mean, it's obviously a high school organization, but it's not run by. I don't feel that it's run by. I guess it is run by high school coaches, but I mean, it's such a special organization that either you're in it or you're not. Even if you're in it. Here's an organization that theoretically makes the rules for the activity, and it doesn't in fact make any rules for the activity and lets everybody just waffle along. It's in the 1920s as far as it comes to electronics and things like that. So you know, I guess they're a high school operation, but they're not doing anything for me. I mean, I've said this a million times. They don't do nothing for me, and I pay them a lot of money for that.
I've obviously disagreed with this many times. So the one thing I'll say is that one difference, I think, no matter what your perspective on this, is that the NDCA is a debate tournament, right? And I think that having something I think that they're, you know, I coach a team that has speech as well, and I think that having speech and debate together is great. But sometimes logistically, having a debate-only championship can also be a good thing.
The activities are so different. Speech works radically differently than debate. And having them together only means that they're physically near each other. There's no communication between the two, and it just complicates your use of rooms and stuff like that. I mean, a lot of the tournaments we go to that have them both, the college tournaments, speech starts halfway into the tournament as far as we're concerned. They talk for 10 minutes and they go home.
I mean, the NDC, I think, also does really neat things that are reminiscent of really cool things that the NFL does. Like, for example, you know, I'm on the board of the NDCA, so I guess I'm biased, and I don't want to go into too much detail about like board discussions and stuff. But
then you're on the board of everything.
I'm on the board of the NDCA.
Go ahead.
I mean, I'm on the advisory committee of the TOC also, but that's not the point I'm just making is that I'm about to say something that I think is very positive about the NDCA, but I'm saying that since I am on the board, you should take that with a grain of salt. But something that I think that was great that the tournament has been doing this year is the chair of our board, Tracy McFarland, is sending out letters, physical letters, to the principals of all of the participants, telling, you know, congratulating people on qualifying, congratulating them on their accomplishments at the tournament. I can tell you that as a teacher at a pretty large high school, that kind of touch when your principal gets a letter about something you've done, that is really good. I mean, I think that those are really good things that we don't take the time to think about and to do in this community. But I think it's a really good way of fostering support for debate. And like I said, I mean, that I especially couldn't help but think that when my day was marked by a lot of really pro-debate things. Our school has been thrilled that we won the NDCA title in policy and PF this past weekend. They've been really supportive of it. And so, you know, to be contrasted with an argument over AP exam conflicts, I couldn't help but be reminded of how great I thought the NDCA tournament was.
I want to go back
to
the tournament. So it's six rounds?
Seven
prelim rounds with 50 people. That's nice. I mean, that's that's a good deal. So you get a lot of data.
The judging is really quite good, too. The tournament spent money on hired judging.
Excellent.
Next year, Brian Manuel is going to be the host because the tournament's going to be held in Scranton. He's already putting a lot of resources to getting really good judges there, too. I think that's great.
Brian, for those who don't know, Brian is a – actually, I don't know if he's local, but he worked at Lakeland, which is right down the road for me in policy.
I mean, he's from Scranton originally.
So he's from Scranton, but he has a good connection to my local area in in Lakeland, which, as I say, is just down the road. So you get seven rounds and breaking. Well, I guess it's going to break to whatever makes sense to break to. It's going to move every year, and we're going to have a different way of getting in next year system.
The thing with the breaks, I think that's also interesting to note is that the plan. I mean, the long term plan is that 5-2s will break. Mm-hmm. This year, because of the size, there were a few 4-3s that broke. The idea is to fill out the.
Well, that's not bad. That's better than not all the 5-2s breaking. Nobody objects to a few 4-3s squeaking in there.
I mean, the tournament, the way it worked in policy debate is that they had a partial double octagon round. There were only three rounds, but it wasn't treated like a runoff round where you get no acknowledgement for being in it. I mean, it was treated like a real out round, even though it was a small partial double octus.
I'm thinking, as you were talking about buying judges, TOC doesn't buy any judges. I mean, they get a great judging pool because everybody goes, but they don't pay 2 cents for judges, as far as I know, anymore.
Sure.
Does the NFL buy judges? No. You know, CFL certainly isn't buying.
I think actually the NFL, I don't know that that's true. I think that the NFL actually does hire some local area judges. I mean, I don't think they fly in judges or anything like that. But I think they do actually.
I mean, I know I pay them a fortune. I'm sending somebody and not going. I'm paying more for a judge there than I paid for all my judges the rest of the year. I'm not really sure why. But I don't know if they really. What local town? What does that mean? They hire local judges. It depends on where they are. If the local
I agree.
What the NDCA is it's all volunteer, right? It's all volunteer judges. Or excuse me, it's an organization that has zero overhead.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's volunteer people who are doing it aren't being paid.
All the money that is raised for the tournament can be reinvested back into the tournament. And I know I encourage
that's nice,
them.
Yeah.
you know, to do things like provide food and provide, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I think I'm going to be a little bit critical of it. I think that it was not acceptable, for example, that we debated in offices as opposed to classrooms. It's very clear that the NDCA, for the most part, is a policy organization. Where the policy debates happened was a beautiful building with, you know, rooms that were all next to each other that were classrooms, and LD debated in people's personal offices on the Georgetown campus, and I think Public Forum had to walk all over the place to go debate. So, you know, that sort of thing, it would have been a little bit nicer to, if we're trying to be different than the TOC,
sure,
and if we're trying to be, if the organization is, I keep saying, if the organization is trying to be a kid-friendly, coach-friendly, national championship that is supposed to compete with the prestige of the TOC or the NFL, I didn't like having to sit at someone's desk, personal desk, to judge
sure
rounds.
I mean, all I can say to that is that I completely agree. I think that's totally valid. And I know one of the really big reasons why I was pushing Scranton as the bid, as the host, is that I think that Brian Manuel is awesome because he obviously has a policy background, but is somebody who I think like all the best coaches are somebody who appreciates all events. Actually, Brian also appreciates speech, but the NDCA doesn't have speech in it. And he was well aware of the
debate coaches association.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I'm saying. But I think that people who come to the NDCA tournament next year will be very, very, very pleased with the accommodations that the rounds will be held in. He was already showing us some details. It looks great.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Mike on this, though. I mean, you have to have a nice place to have the rounds.
Definitely.
Otherwise, it feels sort of punk. I mean, we do this at the high schools, but I understand why at the high schools sometimes we run out of space, because a lot of the high schools aren't that big. I mean, I have 33, 34 rooms available to me at my high school. That's not a lot of rooms. I try to get two divisions in there. Then I go down the other building. You know, so, I mean, it's small school systems have small buildings. You do what you can, but we accept that in the high school venue. But if I go to a university, if I go to Princeton or Yale or something like that, I expect something a little decent.
Sure.
To have my round.
I think that it's a national championship, and you know, when you hear some members of the board totally rag on the TOC, they rag on the TOC because they say, you know, it's not hospitable. You know, it's not coach friendly. It's not, you know, they just take your money and then let you go. I mean, this year, my kids had a great time. I had a great time. Just on that, just how LD was treated and PF were treated so differently from how policy debate was treated. It rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, but you know, I think it'll be different at Scranton. Obviously, high school.
I think that may be evolutionary.
Well, Scranton's not host. The tournament is actually being hosted in the university in the area.
Yeah.
So, and they're making a real concerted effort to make sure that.
Admit that I've used to run a tournament that had policy. I don't know anything about policy, and I mean, I fed them and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, they didn't get the concern that I would give to LD because I don't understand it. I don't know it. So I would hire a whole bunch of LD judges. I couldn't hire any policy judges.
Well, I mean, but that's not, to me, that ignorance is something that an organization such as the NDCA shouldn't be able to fall back on.
Sure.
Right. You shouldn't have policy coaches saying, I don't know, that's LD. Like, for example, when we arrived at the tournament and someone says, and I say, oh, where's LD? Because we go to where policy is and they say, oh, where's LD? And they just point, they're somewhere over there. And, you know, people didn't know where to go and things like that.
Yeah,
and
that's not good. I mean, this should be equal. And at that level in that kind of tournament, you're right, it should be equal.
Yeah. And you know, and like I said, I know that the organization's trying hard, and these are just, I mean, these were just to highlight that, you know, and I'm confident in the fact that the NDCA is an organization that will listen to these concerns. I mean, that's why
people I know that are doing it. I would imagine are people who would want to fix things and make them better. I mean,
I've committed myself very much to to focusing on this particular issue that Beats is talking about.
Who else is in charge of the NDCA? Who are the officers of this organization?
Well, like Beats said, most of the people who are on the board currently are primarily policy coaches. Carol Green is a public forum coach from Parker who is on the board. But in addition to that, there's also Tracy McFarland from Dallas Jesuit. Nicole Serrano, currently from MBA.
Who I know and used to be at Lexington. Sure. She would be concerned, definitely.
Sure. And she yes, you're correct. Tara Tate at Glenbrook South, Gwenda Ferguson at Capel High School. I mean, we have a...
So these are people who have a good experience and good, you know, we know that they're
Jenny
not
Jenny
Height,
Maggie Berth Hume. I didn't even mention everybody. So it's obviously
So it's just a question of learning and growing. Because as you say, it hasn't been around all that long.
Actually, this weekend was a really interesting experience for me also in terms of the issues. It's sort of actually a reverse issue of what Beats was talking about because over the course of this year, I've made it my mission. I mean, you know, I have a very, very large team. So it's become a mission of mine to become try to be equally involved in all events. And on some level, you know, when you run a program the size that I do, you really have to rely on having very, very active assistants who go beyond the duties of a normal assistant. People who basically, you know, are sort of mini head coaches themselves. I've been really lucky that Matt Dene and Andrew Wax have been an incredible help in LD. And over the course of the weekend, it was kind of interesting because I looked at it almost from a reverse perspective where I said, well, you know, I spent a lot of time in LD. Now I'm getting a chance to see the policy world and whatnot. I had this really interesting conversation with Aaron Timmons. And we were talking about how it's really important for coaches, both who are leaders of the NDCA, but who have multiple events on their team to really involve themselves with those multiple events. Like if you have an LD squad, and you are primarily a policy coach, you should try to judge an LD sometimes. And I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I was already saying that, you know, I've judged the occasional policy round here and there. Maybe I'll go to the Lexington tournament and judge a day of policy there or whatnot. I think that's good.
No wonder the students faint when they see you as the judge if it's in a policy round.
I can't blame them. But I thought it was cool, like at the end, Tim Mahoney judged the final round, which I think is cool because he's a primarily policy guy. And I think that Aaron was right. In my conversations with them, that when you are in an organization that's supposed to represent all debate, that it's important for people to represent all debate. You know, it's important that you be seen in all the pools. And if you have multiple events on your squad, then you definitely should be going to different rounds. Like one thing that happened earlier this year, I know this is a bit of a tangent, but I just feel the need to talk about it. When I was tabbing the novice bump tournament, I think we even talked about this in a previous podcast. I thought it was so awesome that Sarah Sanchez came and judged novice LD. I mean, I was like blown away by that. I mean, Sarah Sanchez is a really very respected policy debate coach. Somebody who's judging high level, intense varsity rounds. And I thought it was so cool that not only was she judging LD, but she came and judged some novice rounds. I think stuff like that's really important, and an organization like the NDCA should encourage that.
I'll give you immortal words. I remember sitting in the judge's lounge or whatever, and I had just seen a really horrible novice round, and I said to Michael Bacon, I don't know what to say to these people. It's just such a terrible round. And he said to me, these are the ones who need you the most. And he was absolutely right. I mean, these are the ones who needed a ballot that explains stuff.
Sure.
You know, you go in and judge these kids who are out there all the time. They just want to win, and they want to hear why you picked them up, and they don't really care about your advice on how they're going to be better debaters. But you know, with these younger kids or less inexperienced kids, so I think it's great that you know, we go out there and work with novices and stuff like that.
But even beyond novices, like, you know, going back to what we're saying with the NDCA, I think it's just a really good thing that if you have multiple events on your team, you should. I'm gonna do this, not just policy, with PF, with speech. I just think it's important to you know, get that experience with every portion of your team. And I think the NDCA is well served.
You
I
should know really these. Cool. There aren't that many activities.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's sort of like saying, "Well, I read mysteries, I read romances, I read science fiction, I read nonfiction, whatever." You know, there's only seven or eight genres when all is said and done.
Sure.
And you can, I mean, not be an expert judge in all of them, but certainly be a competent judge in most of these things. I mean, I go to the district tournament and I judge some speech rounds there, and it's the only time I ever judge speech. But I mean, I can judge an extemp round. I mean, I can't judge it the way Palmer might judge it. You know, he has a lot of experience as an extemper and as an extemp coach. But I certainly can pretty much make a decent decision on it, and I can enjoy the hell out of it. You know, that's the other thing. This stuff is fun to watch. The only thing I'm not so hot on is watching policy just because of the speed. But absent that, everything else is pretty entertaining. I'm nothing against any of it. So I'm sorry.
No,
go ahead.
I thought Beats was starting to say something before, and then we accidentally cut him off.
I'm not exactly sure what I was going to say. I mean, okay. I think that, you know, the debate community is in transition with, you know, the TOC. I mean, I'm not saying the leadership at the TOC is a little bit in limbo. I think that there's always going to be a place for the TOC. I hope that the TOC continues to exist. All my friends are on the national circuit, and absent the TOC, I would not be able to justify to my school why we travel so much.
Yeah, I mean, the TOC does warrant the travel. I mean, without the TOC, you would have to wonder, why am I spending thousands of dollars to go somewhere, even if it's a good tournament, because there's no you can't show the impact. You know, you can't see where it's going.
I mean, we would end up. I mean, then we would have to just go to the college tournaments, which is another problem. I mean, I wouldn't be able to justify going to the Glen Brooks or to Bronx when we go next year, right?
Because that's a good way to look at it. And,
it provides a framework for us to be a community that also has division that's akin to horse showing, or
I think that's
or true. Or polo, right, where we get to. Travel around the country and show.
As we make, all right, let's talk about TOC now. There is, and I wasn't quite aware of how much this is true, but there is really different people running it, and going to be even further different people running. I mean, last time I was there, which was like a couple of years ago, it was JW was still absolutely in charge of it, and the various tabbing was done by other people and so forth. But yeah, I felt that he was in charge of the tournament, and he's the tournament director. And I guess Roger Salt was working with him. And these people aren't doing this anymore, right?
Or well, I mean, Roger is still. And JW actually is still.
He's still the dictator.
I mean, he's running things. And he and he gets the final call on things. I mean, I think that part of the issue is that the actual leadership of the Kentucky team is has been somewhat in transition over the over the past period of time. And I think that that's causing...
So what is the staff at TOC?
It's the same staff, but from what I know Roger has said that he is retiring from the team. I don't know if that also means that he's going to retire from the TOC. I mean, the TOC has sort of been, it's not really team run anymore, the Kentucky debate. It's run by the school, by the University of Kentucky. I think you write checks to the, where do you write? You write it to like the students association. Forum.
But I think that just has to do also with how the team was slightly reorganized at the school. I think it's more accurate to say that it's not directly run by the team, but it's like run out of the team's office by some. Does that make sense? It's sort of like.
But the University of Kentucky is the TOC. And so, I think that can continue absent issues with the team itself. And I've heard, and I don't know if it's true, that John Sharp will no longer be at Kentucky, who was on path to, I guess, be the tenured debate coach there. But I don't know I don't know what happened there. But anyway, I think that for a few years anyway, and Linda, who is the administrator, who is awesome, is said that she will continue to stay at the TOC. But, eventually, those people are going to go away, and then what happens? I think that someone will take it over. I know there back in the day, there was always talk that Northwestern or Michigan or some other college might try to take it over or something like that too. But it's an important. It's probably more kids probably care about getting to the TOC at least. Yeah. Than almost any other. I mean, kids spend so. I shouldn't say more kids. I should say the kids that seem to invest the most time into debate care most about TOC.
Yeah, and it really does allow you, because it gives you a reason to go to all these tournaments that I think are great to go to. So it's not that the only thing you get out of these tournaments is not TOC by any stretch of the imagination.
Sure.
But to get yourself to these, if you don't have a TOC, I mean, and it can't be some cockamamie thing that, well, we're going to start tomorrow and take over for TOC. It has to have the authority of TOC, which I'm sure had its growing pains in the day, but it's past that now. The tournaments around the country have the bids and everything.
It's why kids go to camp. I mean, it's kids don't need to go to camp to qualify to NFL or to do well at NFL. I mean, it helps, but you know, you don't need that. The TOC is, you know, what it is for most for these kids that for whom debate is their number one activity in school. So I would hate to see it go away. I don't think it will. But you know, it's in a position of transition, and I know
all the developments, good, bad, or indifferent, have pretty much stemmed from national circuit debate and TOC being at the core of the national circuit debate. When all is said and done, all of the changes have been always good insofar as they've been an intellectual challenge to the activity, whether they in themselves have been a good thing, like, you know, postmodernism or something like that. I wasn't much of a fan of. But overall, I mean, you know, theory and so forth and understanding what you're arguing, just, you know, being able to label your arguments instead of doing them intuitively is a good thing. You know, so, you know, all of this stuff comes from having a national circuit. It comes from having institutes. It comes from people really investing a lot of time and energy, as you say, in their, you know, chief high school activity. So without that central hub of the, you know, the TOC and everything pointing toward TOC.
I agree. The interesting thing about you know, the three organizations is that they all do serve three different purposes. The NDCA is supposed, you know, it's run by coaches.
It's a professional organization also. Yeah. I mean, it does stuff to promote. It does try to do stuff to promote debate and it does a lot of good things in terms of, I think, the case disclosure wiki, the
Open
Evidence Project. I mean, there's a lot of things that it does in addition to the tournament.
Did the Open Evidence ever actually get into LD?
Well, the problem is that we don't. LD doesn't really put together files like they do in policy debate.
The camps don't put together.
Yeah, the camps don't put together these files like they do in policy debate, and because we don't know what the topic is during most of camps. It doesn't make as much sense to put those files. And there also just isn't a culture of file production at LD debate camps, for better or for worse. It might be a good thing.
If you don't know what the topics are, there's a limit to how much in subconsciously, you know, you say, well, I don't know if I really want to kill myself if I'm never even going to debate this to put together.
Well, and it's tough to get kids motivated to do a ton of research on something that is, might be for naught. So, yeah. But the NFL is also a professional organization. But sure. I've always viewed the NDCA more as the coaching association for, well, one, it's debate only, and the NFL has a lot. Uh-huh. I mean, there are so many politics and things that you have to do for the speech coaches.
Right, but also the NFL in many ways, and they've been really marketing themselves this way. But the NFL really. And this is, I guess, where I really disagree with Jim on a lot of this, because I think the NFL does do a lot of good things, even if you can't go to the tournament. Like they promote themselves as like an honor society for debaters, sort of, I guess, like the Arista National Honor Society is like for general students. And I think a lot of people don't take advantage of that side of the NFL, but they do really good things in terms of promoting debate to administrators. They have a really neat awards that you can apply your kids for in terms of like the Academic All-American status. I mean, stuff like that really resonates, particularly with administrators who might not know as much about debate. I mean, I'm fortunate to be in a school where, like today, you know, I'm really fortunate to be in a school where the school understands debate. We were putting a debate day at the school to celebrate some stuff that we did recently. When I was being yelled at about the AP exam conflicts, the principal asked, because she wasn't quite sure what weekend we were talking about. She said, well, you know, John, what tournament are you taking these kids to? I said, well, you know, it's the TOC. And she said, oh, those are the three letters I had to hear. So, you know, the NFL goes out of its way to really, like, I mean, it does send letters to your administration when you do certain things and accumulate certain awards. And I think that kind of honor society thing is really cool, too. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm just saying that the NFL does that as well. And I think that's a little different than the NDCA.
Maybe I overplay my anti-NFL stuff. You got to remember also, I don't work at the school.
Sure.
So I'm very disconnected from the school. I'm disconnected from the NFL. I've had arguments with the NFL about the way they've treated our district because in New York State, the issue being we can't go because of our regents exams and things like that. But they penalize us because we don't. They penalize us for being uninterested in a tournament that has no interest to us. You know,
well, the NFL has work to do itself, too. I mean, I don't know why, you know,
why does it have to be a lot?
It puts a lot of work on people that are overworked anyway, like coaches. That why should I, as a coach, go out and be a evangelist for the NFL when, you know, why should I put in the extra work? The NFL needs to sell itself.
Yeah, they expect me to do it for them. There's no
question. And to fill out 500 pages of
paper. Yeah, to have to run a very specific kind of tournament, blah, blah, blah. It's a bit much. I mean, I think it works in some places, but it just doesn't work. I mean, it's not like I don't run a lot of tournaments, but I run a lot of tournaments in this norm that they are not running their tournaments in. They got a whole other song and dance. So.
Yeah, and you know, in West Los Angeles, we're probably one of the smallest districts in the NFL. I mean, luckily we have myself and Victor who are pretty experienced in doing NFL stuff, but the coach turnover here is amazing. I mean, we have new coaches every year, you know, 5-10 new coaches every year. And most of our coaches in our district have only been coaching for, you know, just a couple of years. So there's just a ton of turnover. And so every year it's battle
to you got to train them all over again and explain where their money goes. And if you're like me and you're wondering where your money goes anyhow, tougher. Anyway, I want to get back to the TOC. Let's get back to the TOC because that was the other.
Okay,
thing. So go ahead.
Well, I was gonna. I mean, I've always the analogy that was always made was to the Triple Crown with the TOC, the NCFL, and the NFL. And I think of it also in terms of like tennis. That if the NFL is like Wimbledon, then the TOC has you know some other function. Maybe it's like, I don't know, the French or the U.S. Open. I don't know. But anyway.
If anything, I think the NFL is the U.S. Open. I don't know too much about sports, but isn't the U.S. Open like just a bigger tournament? Right? Isn't Wimbledon
I think Wimbledon is like the most elite.
Right. That's just so I think if anything, the TOC.
Yeah, that might be right.
I'm just trying to show my real manliness in sports tier beats, please. Okay.
It's tennis. but, you know, that – I was talking about the TOC in the context of the three, and I'm sorry, the NCFL. I don't know where to categorize it anymore.
I competed when I was in high school. My school was one of these like rare like schools. I think that did the NCFL, but not the NFL at all. And
New York.
Yeah, I mean New York is, and part of it I'm sure is because of the problem with the NFL conflicts, but speaking frankly, and I think that there is a value to the NCFL tournament. I think, first of all, it's a great speech tournament. And a lot of debate people don't seem to understand that. It's a really phenomenal speech tournament. And I think it does have a value in terms of the debate portion of it as well. But I think at this point, a true triple crown would be – the NDCA would be that third crown and not the NCFL. At least that's where I think the wind is blowing because certainly that's the case in policy debate.
Yeah, and I think in LD that will be
an LD. It's basically going to be the case. I would predict right here to bring back that old view from tab predictions thing is that I predict that within a year it is going to be the third crown of the triple crown.
Oh, I mean, agree
with the amount of congratulations that Andrew and Zach and I and our staff got for winning the NDCA was the most congratulations I've literally got that we've gotten for anything we've done. I mean, basically everyone, Richard Sodico is treating it as the third crown of a triple crown. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, that's what the field is. So I think that's what's going to end up happening with the LD tournament as well.
I think
that's
different
great.
Fields, though. I mean, NFL and NCFL have radically different fields.
Well, the NCFL doesn't have – I think the biggest problem with the NCFL, and this could be a separate discussion, I guess, but the NCFL doesn't have a consistent qualifying process, period.
Yeah.
So in some places, you could just sign up to go to the NCFL.
Yeah, I mean,
places,
there's not a lot of debate.
What people don't understand is that New York City and the New York area, that has got to be one of the hardest qualifying tournaments in this country of any tournament. It is ludicrous how hard it is.
That's why I love NCFL for us, because to get to the qualify, I mean, we have three times as many people in the tournament that could qualify. So anybody who actually does is like, wow, you actually qualify. It's like a real accomplishment.
And then in Minnesota, the coaches just get together
and
decide who gets to represent the diocese.
Yeah, you have total control on how you want to do it. Because I know we would have people debating somebody who had literally like never debated before going to
the tournament. Those are the most painful rounds I've ever judged are often they're at the NCFL. And it's not painful because they're both terrible. It's painful because one person's literally never debated before and the other person is a very experienced fourth-year debater. And to me, at that point, it's hard to justify that how that could be considered a national
Yeah, I mean, so it has flaws. And, of course, it has cockamamie resolutions, as we have talked about, although the LD resolution isn't dreadful. The wording is clumsy, but it's not the world's worst resolution. I mean, I sort of like going to the NCFL only because I see people hang out and have fun.
Yes.
You know, so, and it's short. It's over.
I think this, but I think the schedule, that's, again, I guess a discussion for another day, but I think the schedule of the NCFL is pretty poorly.
It's brutal.
They need another day. Just
you basically don't want it's. You don't get to see people as much as you'd like because.
Well, yeah, that Saturday is the deadest day of your life because you get up and you go to the round.
What time
is
the judge's call? 6 a.m.
Yes, so you get there at 6 o'clock, and
judges.
Because if you don't show up there,
and then they actually yell at you if you want to really talk about a tournament where you're not being treated
like
professionally.
Like,
people are you are. I they have called people stupid.
I've never been so treated so poorly as that there. I mean, just as a general rule, whatever up front just naturally assumes that everybody else is an idiot. And it's usually somebody who's never run a debate tournament in their lives. And they're now, they're starting 3 hours late and telling you what an idiot you are, which is
I don't like that at all.
Not such a good idea. You know, I mean, some people do a great job. Last year I was in the PF, judging in the PF division, and Mike Naylor ran it like it was wonderful. I mean,
I'll say this also with the NCFL. They had a really horrendous tabulation error that caused one of my debaters to not clear, and it was really ridiculous. But I have to say,
they only have 78 people in the tab room doing it. So,
but I will say that I was actually about to say something as a genuine compliment to the NCFL. You know, tab errors do happen sometimes. And I must say that of all the times, I fortunately have not had that many tab errors affect my students, but they've happened. Of all the tab errors I've seen, the NCFL really did handle it the most professionally. They were very, very apologetic.
So I just say they didn't do it.
They don't need to happen.
I agree.
Don't need to happen.
They are set up. I mean, part of it is they're working with such antediluvian processes that it's hard not to have errors.
I mean, it wasn't as bad as our state, the state event hosted by the NYSFL last year where somebody didn't clear because they misentered his outround ballots and they didn't allow disclosure in the outrounds. But that's a discussion for another day. The TOC.
Back to the TOC. So the TOC seems to be changing its management to maybe, but like not terribly so.
I wouldn't call it yet because JW is, I saw him just a couple months ago. He's alive and well and excited about
booked his tickets to the Bronx Science Tournament, so he's going to be around next season.
He's around, and he actually, for all the lore regarding Dr. Patterson, he actually looks pretty good for being, he's got to be close to 80 years old now.
He's old. He's over 80. He's in his 80s.
Yeah, I mean, in his 80s. So, he gets around. He travels a lot. Yeah. He does well for himself. So, I wouldn't say that. I'm just saying that.
Well, I'm just not even for what you're saying. I mean, I've heard other people saying the same thing. Not that JW is going away, but just that other people are there and coming and going and that there are changes. And that,
And so who knows what happens. I just hope it sticks around because
I think what we're saying is probably reflective of what a lot of other people think, too, that it sort of needs to stay. I mean, one way or the other, there needs to be
that kind of institution.
I mean, whatever happens, there has to be, even if Kentucky, it's not in Kentucky anymore, there has to be an official passing of the baton so that it's the same tournament, just doesn't happen to be in Kentucky. Although I'm fine with going to Kentucky. It's nice down there. They always, what I like about going to Kentucky is that's the week they lay down all the manure. So when you get there, that smell is like, oh my God, what am I doing here? But every year I went down there, manure had nice fresh manure.
I kind of hope that whoever or wherever, if it does, maybe the University of Kentucky continues to run it indefinitely and whoever takes over, or maybe the University of Kentucky finds someone just to run the tournament, something like that. Because I would think that.
Speaking, by the way, though, of accommodations, the Monday, I don't like laying in bed judging around.
Yes, that is.
Well, there's another example of LD not getting the better rooms because the policy rooms are not people's beds.
Yes.
Well, they can't fit them. I mean, that's the only thing.
But that's the excuse, but you should still spend some money on the rooms.
Exactly. You should spend some money on rooms. Also, because I know that there are tournaments that run and they put the beds up or they'll put desks and extra chairs in, like the Blake tournament, where the hotel will make accommodations. Anyway.
I think my underwear on the floor was once visible in a VBD TOC video because they crashed into my room. So,
And I think, I mean, but that's what you expect. I mean, that's what the TOC is, and no one cares. It's the, you go there on Sunday morning, and there's no coffee, because that Starbucks might be open now, but for a lot of years, there was nothing for judges, no hospitality at all. I mean, they made a press release where they alerted the debate community that they would now have coffee available at the TOC. I mean, that was a huge deal that they were going to have coffee available.
Isn't
coffee the first thing that we mentioned in terms of what you need to have at a tournament when we were doing our tournament preparation thing? Yeah. I mean, that and they just started providing coffee, and it is what it is, and people pay a ton of money to go to it. It's not cheap to fly into Lexington.
Right, it's not at all.
Boy, it got expensive this year. I'm not going there. I was looking at the prices. It's up $100-$150 from the last time I went.
Well, and any time it's the same weekend as Derby weekend, it's going to be even more expensive.
It's always Derby weekend.
You know, all those sorts of things. And the TOC, it is what it is, and you put up with everything. I mean, it's
with
a weekend
with the AP exam conflict. I'm going to just keep bringing that up because I think
AP exam, it's always been in conflict.
Okay.
With AP.
It's always
it
been
is.
In conflict.
I know, I'm aware of that, but my point is that is something
he can't go the weekend after because of finals. He can't.
Sure. And the AP exams are still going on at that point. But the week before, I mean, it's on a weekend. The Monday rounds are in a hotel. So the idea that these, you know, I'm not criticizing. There are reasons I know that they're happening. For it, but this is just the
final point. Final exams at big universities always happen on weekends. I mean, they just do because I went to the University of
Minnesota, the weekend before. I mean, these are just things that I think need to, you know, they're fair for discussion. I mean, they're
yeah. I mean, that's
listen, debate coaches are often the enemies in the school of teachers because you take the kids out of class, and a lot of public schools, that's a big deal. And
oh, it is at my school too.
And yeah, it's a big deal at private schools as well. And so. So the problem is, I think the high school debate – this could be actually the subject for an entire podcast, but I really believe that the high school debate community needs to think proactively about ways of making debate loved by all. And this is a mission that I've had at my own school, and I think we've done really well with it. But it was a reminder today that despite how well we've done with it, something as impossible to explain as how a national championship could conflict with the AP exams when most – top-level debaters are probably AP students. You know, that was really hard for me to explain. It was really, really hard for me to explain. And something I think about every year, but this year, I guess the contrast was so dramatic because we've been coming off a couple of particularly great weeks of debate, and the school's just been so positive about it. So that was just something to think about. You know, it's a tournament for high school students. Let's not have
that.
Well,
you can reschedule, and my kids.
You can reschedule.
I'm not trying to dismiss, but
sure. And we do reschedule.
All they'd have to do is start the thing on Friday and actually have the debates. Everybody go home Sunday, and there wouldn't be a problem.
That's also true. I mean, the Beats is right. You can reschedule. You have to pay to reschedule, which is another expense, another hidden expense in the TOC. And the other thing is that schools, some schools give late session exams to begin with. Now, in Brock Science, I realize, you know, we. That's not true of every single school, but it is an annoyance for the guidance department to have to do that. And my whole point is that little things like that add up. Oh, yeah. You know, schools take AP exams really seriously. Now, in this world today, I mean, funding, stuff like that is really geared towards rankings of schools, et cetera, et cetera. And for better or for worse, I would say for real worse, you know, schools put a lot of emphasis on the AP exam. So it's just something to think about.
Look, we should just run it right over NCFL. That's my belief. I'm begging for a national championship to run its tournament over NCFL.
Well,
That one's for Fred Robertson.
Oh, God. Well, we know he's not listening to the podcast, so we're
right.
I love you, Fred, anyway, man. I consider Beats put something about him being a mentor, and you know what? He is. I think he is one of the ultimate coach mentors. Beats' point was awesome.
But we did want to have talked to Fred just because we had been disparaging the public forum topic, and I guess he was involved in some discussion on that.
I mean, he's the host of the NCFL tournament. I don't know that that means he should be taking anything we're saying personally because he's just hosting
the tournament. To do with
but he topics. Is taking it a little personally, so we apologize to Fred, I guess.
Yeah. Apologize to Fred who isn't listening.
Yes.
Fred, thank you for not listening.
Or as Jim called him, Bob Fredrickson.
Yeah. Some names just work in any direction.
That's right.
Simple as that. So, I mean, is there? I mean, any? we only have a couple minutes left, but is there anything else about the TOC? I mean, you're both on the committee. You're both, who's
Look, I think beats,
somebody's
I think
beating. Says, what is that noise?
The noise you're talking about.
There's some cracking. You're eating nuts. Anyhow.
Oh. What?
Well, did okay, you get, did well, somebody get a new microphone or something?
Nope.
I didn't.
Listen. Okay. Wow, Beats didn't get a new... Okay, so I think look, I think Beats' point about having a tournament that sort of is the organizing point of the national circuit is certainly important.
So,
you know, if the TOC wasn't there, if the ND, you know, does the NDCA take that role? Does some other tournament take that role? That's a you know that's a I guess a, an academic point for now.
I mean, there's a lot of questions about. I mean, the future of NDCA. I think there's a lot of questions. I'm definitely scheduling it for next year. I mean, definitely will go.
Look. Again, I'm very biased on the board of it. I'm going to tell you right now, I thought it was a fantastic experience. My kids had an amazing time. Mm-hmm. We thought that yes, there were things that can improve like any tournament. We were really impressed by the quality of competition in every field. I just thought that the tournament was a really great time. Mm-hmm. And I think that the NDCA does a lot of good things for the debate community. It's why I ran in the first place for the board. I think it does a lot of good things and has the potential to do even more things. So I would encourage everyone who is a coach who's listening certainly to at least sign up for the organization. A lot of organizations have very steep entry fees and registration fees. The NDCA registration just costs $25 to become a member. So I think that's
something. Yeah, actually,
and it gets reinvested. It gets reinvested.
Right, exactly.
They do have a list server, which I don't know if I guess I'm, I don't remember ever paying $25, but they do have a list server.
Anyone can be on the list server.
Yeah, you can get on the list server for free. And one of the things that came out of the list server for us is there was some discussion of having free institutes. We started our own free institutes exactly based on somebody's posting.
That's true. And actually, the NDCA, the institute that Jim and I ran, the NDCA. I'm sure Jim, you remember this. We're going to send over some of the information about what we did, and some other people through the NDCA indicated that they were interested in doing that in their areas, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, it was just a one day thing, but it worked really well.
Yeah, I think it's great. And Jim is going to sign up for the NDCA right after this.
The first thing out the door.
I do think though that I do again encourage people to sign up for it. I think it's a really really fine organization. It has a pretty diverse membership, actually, if you look through the members. The website, we're right now doing some repairs on it, but the membership is actually pretty diverse. And it is, I think historically one issue I had with the NDCA a few years ago is I felt that it was very, very policy-oriented. And while I think Beats is right that there's still a lot of policy-oriented aspects to it, increasingly there are a lot of other event coaches who are getting involved, and from all over the country. So I think that's pretty cool.
And meanwhile, we have TOC coming up, so you can't really comment on what happened since it hasn't happened yet. But I'm going to be curious. I mean, that'll probably – we won't do a show next week.
We won't?
Okay. I don't think so. Okay. And then we'll do one after you get back from the TOC.
That sounds good to me.
Get a report on if there were any – usually a change is discussed but doesn't necessarily get announced or affected. And, you know,
I think there'll be some big discussions.
But I'd be curious to find out what the discussions are after the fact, after you have the discussion. So I'd say in 2 weeks we'll have talk about, so what exactly?
That might have to be a two-hour episode.
Whatever. That'll be. I'm going away after that, so I can have that one be real long. And
what are predictions?
Predictions.
For the TOC? Ooh, that's...
Predictions for the TOC. My God. There will be manure.
I am going to eat a...
What are they called? Hot browns?
Unbelievable hot brown. The University of Kentucky.
I've actually made hot browns at home, inspired by the TOC. Last year, I was home for Derby Day, and I had people over, and I made hot browns, and it was great. Everybody said, "What's the? Ooh, this is good."
Yeah, mint juleps.
Yeah,
there'll be some mint juleps. JW will pour some for the advisory. Well, what am I saying? Sorry. Can't say that.
There's an open bar at that meeting. Mm-hmm. I predict that. We will continue to run our disclosure critique at the tournament. Won 3 rounds at the NDCA using that thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We've disclosed our cases, except for the ones that we're going to break there. We already have our disclosure outlines ready for most of those cases, so the moment we break them, we can put them online. Yeah. I think it's going to be fun.
And is there a special place to put the disclosure for
TOC? Actually, on the NDCA wiki.
So it is on the NDCA wiki. And then that's, I mean, there was this thing at, what, Woodward, where there was, like, the award for the best disclosure. That's
true. Beats His Kids, congratulations. And received the novice one, and Zach Skyler from Newberg.
And this was all on that NDCA wiki?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay. My kids are behind it 100%. I mean, even this weekend, they thought of a new argument. Because one, a girl heard that we were running this critique, so she went up to one of my debaters and said, can I tell you what I'm running? And, you know, so we thought about it a little bit, and someone else said, can we share sites with you? And so people want to disclose with us. Our new answer is going to be, no, you should put it on the wiki, because this just feeds our argument that knowledge ought not be politicized in debate. Sure. And as you were comfortable to come up to me, doesn't mean that anyone would. So just put it on the wiki, and we're also not going to give out sites on a one-on-one basis. We're going to say, you can go to the wiki, it's all there.
Okay. Well, on that note,
I predict I will use, if it comes in time, the iPad that is being generously given to me by the mother of Michelle Choi, one of Mike Beetz's very cool debaters, who is a former lab student of mine. I don't know how I became so
lucky. I want
so
you to be the first person
iPad,
to flow
but
on
I will,
an iPad.
I want to flow on an iPad so badly.
And you will be flowing badly, let me tell you.
During the NDCA championship award ceremony, I was watching a baseball game on my iPad.
Rude.
I was going to ask if Beetz had an iPad. Why would I ask?
He was showing it off. I was jealous.
I'm sure he got day one.
He's watching some TV on his iPad.
On that note,
look, guys, I got to say, Menick was making fun of the iPad a little while ago.
It's life changing.
He won't make fun of it the moment he sees it.
I want to go to the Apple Store, but I don't want to go because I don't want to spend $500.
I want to know this before we go. Because I agree. I thought the iPhone was eye-changing.
I watched both Synecdoche, or whatever the movie's called, two, and then I watched Being John Malkovich on my flight home from Washington, D.C. Two movies that are over 2 hours long each on my iPad on the flight, and when I landed, I still had over 80% of battery life left.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And that was watching the movie on full screen.
That's pretty impressive.
Yes. And it's awesome. I mean, being able to read your Kindle books, I transferred all my books from Kindle.
Yours is
my
a 3G
Kindle.
Or not a 3G?
Not a 3G.
Okay, so that's the one I'm not getting. So I'm not getting a 3G one either, apparently. Yes. I just discovered that an hour
3G
before.
3G, they aren't out. They're coming out in a week or two.
Yeah, so you feel that that wasn't limiting, that it wasn't didn't have 3G access and whatnot?
No, I have a MiFi, and there's Wi-Fi almost everywhere now. I mean, really,
I have a Boingo account and stuff like that.
Yes, if you have a Boingo account, then anything. And I have a MiFi, which I can connect it to, and so I'm not going to pay for internet service twice. To me, it wasn't worth the extra $200 cost to get the 3G, and I don't want to pay AT&T more money because their service sucks. So,
fair enough.
Fair enough. Okay. Again, I'm going to say we're done.
Okay. Have a good night.
Very good.
40 seconds.
Have a good
okay,
night,
guys.
May the force be with you. Bye.
May the force be with you.
I had to say it. I'm sorry. I don't know actually why I had to say it, but anyway.
Why did you have to? Because
I
you
don't
were
know.
Watching. Because you were watching the Ewoks.
No,
oh my
I...
God.
You must use the force. You must use the force.
You must use the
force. You must use the force.
You must use the
force. You must use the
force.
You must use the force.
Time ago, far, far away, long time ago, far, far away.
Kiss a Wookiee, kick a droid, fly the Falcon through an asteroid, till the princess is annoyed. This is spaceships, it's monsters, it's Star Wars, we love it, come and help me. Obi-Wan, X-Wing fighter, and the blaster gun, dance with Ewoks, so we're fun. This is spaceships, it's monsters, it's Star Wars, we love it. Get in there, you big furry oaf.
I couldn't care less what you smell. I take orders from only me. Maybe you'd like it back in your cell, your highness. Your worshipfulness, your highness, your worshipfulness.
No one cares if you upset a droid.
Nobody cares if you
That's
upset
because
a droid.
Droids don't tear your arms out of socket.
Nobody cares, I suggest a new strategy. Let the Wookiee win. That's because nobody cares
if you upset a droid.
Listen to a whining
Gonna go to Tashi Station for power converters. Now I guess I'm going nowhere. It just isn't fair.